Moving Iron Podcast is proud to be part of the Global Ag Network. The network is live, so check out globalagnetwork.com for more details and updates. Now on to the show.
Moving Iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving Iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here. Moving Iron.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Market Rundown with Chip Nellinger. I'm your host, Casey Seymour, now part of the Global Ag Network. Chip, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm all sprung ahead and I'm ready to rock and roll. How about you?
Yeah, I'm ready to do the same, ready to get up an hour earlier than I normally do, so things are looking up. I'm pretty excited about all that.
It was nice. We finally had the sunshine a little bit today, so that was nice. Literally feels like we're only had like 4 times in the last 3 months, but it's nice to see that at 6:30 tonight, that the blue sky and the sun was shining after about an inch and a half of rain yesterday.
Yeah, we had a fair amount of snow come through here. We had earlier in the week, we had 5 or 6 or 8 inches or whatever it was that we had to start with. And then we had we were supposed to get 3 inches Friday night. We ended up with almost 6, I think. So we had quite a bit of snow here in the last 3 or 4 days of the year.
Well, you can keep it.
Yeah. Well, we were lucky north of us in South Dakota. They got 2 foot of snow. So that was something. I'm glad stayed that way north. So this weather thing has just got a lot of stuff going on right now. I mean, you got guys in the deep south that should be planting right now. Should be a week or two into that planting cycle by all stretches of the imagination. And now you sit back and look at that. They haven't planted a thing yet. And there's really no window in sight where we can see even getting some field work done.
Yeah, it's really an odd market we have. You know, we're powered up now and we can plant in a hurry. But I think the market doesn't care about that yet. But in a lot of ways, we already have a delayed spring, like you said.
Yeah.
In the south, they should be planting Mississippi, Alabama. Not sure about Louisiana, but I think that's wet too. But for sure, Mississippi, Tennessee is super wet. Should be planting corn down there, especially in Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana. They're not super wet, got more rain. And then, like you mentioned, north of you, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet of snow on the ground. So, first of all, you got to get above freezing. I read, some stupid statistic from up somewhere in South Dakota, I think it was South Dakota, that they did get above freezing for the first time in I don't know how long, a long, long time. Last week. It usually happens when it warms up a little bit, brings rain or snow. So they got pounded with some snow, although they got above freezing. So they can't win for losing up there.
Yeah.
But it's, arguably a slow start to spring. The market doesn't care about it yet. It's kind of a weird deal, you know. It's still March, early March. It seems like, well, when's the market going to figure that out? And just all of a sudden, if it continues, which all the forecasts are for below average temperatures and still quite a bit of precip in it. It's not what you want to see right now coming into mid-March. So eventually, if we're still fighting this, say, the last week in March, first week in April, the market, it'll like flip the switch and all of a sudden it will care. But right now there's still time, arguably, for this thing to turn around, warm up, dry out, and get kicked off with some field work and planning. But I would argue that it's not a normal spring to begin with, because tons of field, I mean, I don't know, maybe in modern history, the least amount of field work that we've had done, at least in 10 years, if not 20 years. So we've got a lot to do. The market really struggles with stuff like that. And it's hard enough for these fund traders and New York and London to know what a corn plant is or a bean plant or vice versa. They might not know if you drop them in the middle of a field and they trade it. So
right.
It's really difficult for them to wrap their arms around agronomic stuff like too wet, too cold, planting, field work, pollination, rainfill. It's really hard for the market to kind of discern that. So, but I would tell you, we're set up. We've got these funds loaded up short. Probably, arguably, the biggest short position they've had in March in, I don't know, 10-plus years. They'd be borderline record short corn anyway. So probably the second biggest short position they've ever had in corn outright, let alone in March. So this thing is really set up if this wet weather continues, we delay planting any further, or if we do get some sort of a Chinese trade agreement that includes any type of grain, sorghum, corn, DDGs, ethanol, that would be a game changer. And you combine that, if it stays wet and cold, and you get a China deal, and the funds are short, that could be an explosive move. Now, that's a big if at this point, but say all the pieces are there, we just got to get them lined up and get some sort of spark to get these funds to want to get out of their short position. It kind of boggles your mind why you'd want to be short, near record short corn, pretty big short position in beans, record short Kansas City wheat, pretty large short in Chicago wheat, here going into mid-March when you have the entire growing season ahead of us. So there's tons of risk there. We just need some things to go right on some of these other issues like China trade agreement, obviously, demand, exports. Need some things to go right, and we've got the makings for a nice rally.
Yeah. So Friday we had that report come out. Any shockers there to you? Anything stand out to you that you thought was above board or anything that was a little out of the norm for you?
Yeah, pretty quiet, honestly. They bumped corn carry out up 100 million. I don't think that was a huge shock. It didn't help us at all. They dropped exports by 25 million. They dropped, I believe, ethanol by 75 million. I don't think that was a big shock. Billion 8.5 on the carryout. Pretty negligible increase, but it was an increase and it didn't help us out. Everything else was pretty much unchanged. 900 million bushel carryout beans, that's still big. That didn't help us either. Brazil bean crop, they dropped by 500,000 metric tons. Everything else on the corn side in South America and Argentine bean crop, they left unchanged. So really didn't give us a whole lot. Touch negative because of the 100 million bushel increase on corn carryout. I think what this comes down to, though, is still China. Kind of got some negative news last week, really hit the markets. I mean, we just had an ugly, ugly week, especially in corn and wheat. Beans were able to hold on a little bit better, but still everything into the week with pretty healthy losses. And it's all about China. There's some negativity right now. They delayed this 27-28 meeting between the Chinese president, President Trump. Still trying, I think, behind the scenes to get some stuff done. So you heard over the weekend here a little bit of positive news, like we're getting there. We're working on rescheduling that meeting. At this point, it's going to be a formality. I mean, they kind of said in the Chinese press that the Chinese president, if they're going to do this meeting, when the two presidents get together, it's already a done deal, and it's just basically a, you know, kind of a PR.
Formality type thing.
You know, press type thing. So
yeah.
That's really what the market's waiting for now. It's the official announcement of when the two presidents are going to meet. And then once they hear that, they're going to assume that it is a done deal. Obviously, we're going to get the details out. There's been a lot of stuff leaked out, talking about $50 billion total worth of ag products. I think energy probably is going to fall in that too. Even though it's not technically an ag product, but I think that could easily happen where part of that $50 billion is going to include energy, some crude oil, maybe some products, and natural gas potentially as well. But that's what we're waiting on. Weather, too early to get too carried away on the weather, but it's not, definitely not a good start to spring here. And the China trade agreement And March 29th, we've got the acreage report and the quarterly stocks report. That'll be a big market mover, potentially. But if it's still snowing and raining and, you know, 25 degrees everywhere, it really doesn't matter what the intended acreage is going to be. It's going to be more about Mother Nature at that point in time. So, you know, early springs always favor historically additional corn acres. If the South is still, you know, wet and not making progress by that point in time, there's still snow on the ground in the North, you can probably assume we're not going to plant as many corn acres as what they're going to tell us on that report. So Mother Nature's really going to start taking over as the leader here over the next 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. So if the spring stays wet and things kind of continue down the same path that we're seeing now for the next, you know, 30 days or so, could you see a spike in maybe double crop soybeans or something like that? That could, some guys that couldn't get some corn planted maybe are rolling into soybeans just for the fact that they have that window open?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For sure. We've already heard producers. I've heard a couple stories already. One from Illinois, one from Indiana. Guys that didn't get field work done this past fall, they were going to grow corn on corn. It's too late. Nitrogen's going up. They didn't get field work done. It's been a horrible winter. It's not a great start to spring. They're already going back. They're going to plant more beans and less corn on corn. So, you know, I'm not saying that's a huge trend yet, but the big swings in acreage typically don't come from dry states anyway. That's pretty stable acreage base. You can get some swings year to year, but you're not talking typically big swings. The swings are going to come from the Dakotas, Kansas, from the South. I don't see big additional corn acreage in the South. I think there's going to be more cotton down there. I've picked up that maybe we could see a pretty healthy increase in corn in Kansas and obviously North and South Dakota. Well, you know, you already illustrated, you know, a couple feet of snow this past weekend, 2-3 feet of snow already on the ground there, cold, blizzard. You know, I don't know. There's time. It's early still, but it doesn't bode well. You got to get snow melted and the ground thawed to even think about corn planters rolling here. And it does not look like it's going to be a fast start there. So, and I would argue, too, not that anyone, not trying to disparage farmers in North Dakota by any stretch, but just state the fact that that's not I-State type of soil for the most part, right? So if we pick up 3 million acres in the Dakotas and 500,000 acres in Kansas, my point is that's not, 230, 240 bushel corn ground like central Illinois, central Iowa type farm ground. So that already kind of mathematically says that we're maybe not kind of holding back the potential for the national average yield. So there's that balancing act of, if we plant more corn acres, does it, you know, mathematically say, well, hey, maybe we aren't going to hit a 176 yield. Demand's still pretty good, even though they cut it. So we got a lot of, the point being, we have just a tremendous amount of uncertainty ahead of us with production, with, acreage, with planting, and then not to mention the whole growing season, pollination, grain fill. And, why would it be perfect? It hasn't been perfect since September, right? We've arguably come off 2 or 3 years where it's been pretty perfect from start to finish. It didn't finish well last year, starting in about September. It hasn't gotten any better to March. You know, the trend's your friend. I don't know why at this stage it's just going to be absolutely perfect. It'll turn at some point in time. But the point is, we haven't had a challenging growing season for several years, raising big crops. Statistically, we're overdue for some sort of a little bit of a flare-up or at least a scare. And, we'll see. There's plenty of ammunition there. If you see that, the funds aren't going to hold with a short position of, I don't know what it would be now, 200,000, 210,000. That's a lot of buying. They usually don't just go from short to neutral and stay there. They usually overshoot and reverse. So, that's a lot of corn contracts for the funds to buy if there's any type of a reason to during the growing season.
Yep. Okay, so let's jump over to look at the cattle market real quick. And the pig and hog market as well. Man, there's just there's a lot of pressure on that market right now just because of the weather the way it is and the cold weather and gain and all that stuff that are going into that. So talk about the livestock market a little bit and what you see happening there.
Yeah, so I think let's start with the hogs because that's easy enough. Now, they did show a little bit of a bounce here. They were way overdone to the downside. They need a China deal. Hogs have some problems, overproduction or expanding, can't seem to get much going, every rally gets sold. We are overdue for a bounce, we're starting to kind of see that a little bit, so that's good to see. But we're not going to go too far until we get some sort of trade deal, and hopefully that trade deal is going to include some U.S. pork in sizable amounts going to China. And that definitely could be, you could see hogs $10 higher in a snap of a finger. We get some confirmation of Chinese purchases of U.S. pork. Cattle market, a little bit easier here. You know, we've been kind of talking about it all night here. It's the weather, and it's not getting any better. And, carcass weights are down. We did have a cattle on feed report. We're kind of caught up now. I believe we're caught up. I don't know. It's been it's amazing to me. We have a six-week government shutdown, but it takes 2 months to get caught back up on the data. Yeah. We did have a cattle on feed report Friday. It was about as expected. No real major shocks there. I think it's going to go back to weather, horrible feeding conditions. You're going to see the influence. Even when it straightens out, we're going to continue to see that be an influence on weights for the foreseeable future for several more weeks, if not, better part of 2-3 months here. So it's going to take a while to get through the effects of this winter. And that's, to me, still says we could have some upside here, but producers really have to be on the lookout, especially on the deferreds. If we get into kind of a blow-off type run here where the feedlots, are current and don't have inventory ready, and the packers are short-bought and need cattle and they're bidding up, that can kind of get us into a final blow-off. We need to be kind of on alert for that. Because we're not going to go up straight up forever. There's more numbers coming out there ahead of us. So cattle, to me, still have some potential upside in here, but you really have to be on alert probably for that final kind of vertical blow-off top, potentially, maybe sometime in the next 2 to 6 weeks, and really have your finger on the trigger and be rewarding that rally and deferreds and taking some risk off the table in some way, shape, or form if you are a cattle producer out there.
Yep. All right, Chip, plenty of stuff going on. Like we talked about at the beginning of the podcast here, fertilizer costs, input costs, uncertainty with possibly what crops you might even be planting right now. Having that plan is a pretty big component of your marketing plan. So talk to me a little bit about that plan and how guys can work with you to get that one put in place.
Yeah, it is critical, right? These markets have kind of put everyone to sleep because we're, on a 7-month sideways trading range. But it is critically important to have a plan. It can mean the difference between profitability and farming at a loss this coming year. Perfect example of that is this past week in corn, right? I mean, here's an example. You have a big drop. No one has concluded, expected that big drop. The funds really don't care what's happened fundamentally. They puke out, 50, 60,000 contracts on the short side. We're taking advantage of that, buying a few courage calls. The volatility is there. We're at the lower end of the range, as low as we've been. In fact, we touched contract lows in the May contracts late last week in corn. Why not buy a few calls so that then when we rally in uncertain weather season, you can sell into it and you have your cake and eat it too. If we go to $5, the calls cover you. If we roll over and have another big crop, you sold corn north of $4, if we get that opportunity. That's a perfect example of it. There's a lot of ways you can go with that. That's just one illustration. But point being, you got to have a plan. It's critically important, a plan A and a plan B. It's great to have a 4.25 sales target in corn, but we never achieve it. What are you going to do about that? You need to have some fail safes in there, both price and time, as a plan B. So it's critically important. And if anybody needs some advice or second set of eyes or ears on that, you can certainly call us, 309-550-7213. We'd love to chat with you before it gets too terribly busy here at spring.
Right on, Chip. Well, appreciate it as usual. Good stuff. And we'll talk to you again next Sunday. And I can't talk. So for the rest of this week, have a good one. We'll talk to you again on Sunday, man.
That sounds good. Have a good week.
All right, buddy.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Moving Iron Podcast, now part of the Global Ag Network. If you'd like to continue any of these conversations, you can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. You can also send me an email at Moving Iron Podcast at movingironpodcast.com. You can also visit the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel and watch Market Roundup with Chip Mellinger, Sean Hackett, and Angie Setzer. Also, Tax News with Glenn Birnbaum. Please visit movingironllc.com. Here you can find information, details, and updates for the 2019 Moving Iron Summit in Nashville, Tennessee. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave a review and subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and globalagnetwork.com. So until next time, let's go move some iron. This is Casey Seymour. Out.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here.